Hello, career competitor. This is Steve Mellor, as always, here to share with you some powerful conversation and some significant insights into what it means to optimize your career in pursuit of your optimal self. I am excited to be introducing our guest here shortly. But as always, let me draw your attention to careercompetitor.com, where you'll see right at the top of that homepage is a place where you can enter your email and become a part of my monthly subscription, my mid-monthly message, where I am just simply giving you that little nudge in the middle of the month to remember that whatever it was you set out to achieve with all that energy at the outset of the month, and whatever those lofty goals may be at the end of the month, that you're not going to lose sight of that journey in between. Become a part of my community today. Head to careercompetitor.com, enter your email, and look forward to my next mid-monthly message. Now, let's get right into the show. Hello and welcome into this episode of Career Competitor with my guest Nelson Nigel, who is packed full of entrepreneurship energy, and I'm so excited to be welcoming him, and I'm about to give him the introduction he certainly deserves. But three things to be looking out for in addition to much more within this episode. Firstly, the role an athlete mindset has toward fueling growth far outside of athletics. Secondly, we get into why we dedicate time into the depth of the foundation when considering optimal growth. And finally, we talk about why we keep good energy around us and be strict about getting rid of any dead weight. So these three things and much more within our discussion with Nelson Nigel on this episode of Career Competitor, and I hope you all enjoy. Okay, our career competitor is a CEO, tech entrepreneur, and the product of a lifetime of personal and professional growth. As the CEO of Kidmoto, the children car seat transportation expert, our guest has helped create and grow an app that makes airport transportation easy for every parent flying with a baby, something I assure you my wife and I could have stood to have had around a couple of times over the years. But the part of our guest's story that I'm so excited to dive into is the way in which all this success has been built over the years, and it's come from a desire to simply go and do it, to do the work, to go the extra mile when others, if anyone around them, was willing to do the work. I'm so delighted to be welcoming to Career Competitor, the inspiring Mr. Nelson Nigel. Nelson, how are we doing, brother?
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Doing fantastic. And you're cold. But fantastic.
Yes, you're up in the north, man. I'm down in the south. I won't tell you what the temperature is down here, but you stay warm up there, brother. You stay warm up there.
Thank you.
But listen, Nelson, I've been so excited to have you on. This has been on the schedule for a couple of months now, actually. So I've been really looking forward to it. And the fact of the matter is that there's something about your story that, you know, people gravitate towards these kind of stories. Someone that came from a lot less than what they have now. It's a really easy way to sort of explain it. And so where I'd love to start with you is we're going through a phase in time right now where resilience, things like this desire to climb, to do the work, it's almost as hard a sell as ever to get people to buy into that very concept. So I would love to learn from you, from the man himself, like, why is it that your story is the story that it is? And why is it that all of these traits came to you and maybe came easy to you?
Oh, good question. Oh, wow. Refuse to lose. I refuse to lose. If you're going to put it in that perspective, Steve, I'll say it's the athlete in me. And the athlete, I grew up as an athlete and I refused to lose. Just refused to lose. That's it. Yeah. Cannot give up. You cannot give up. And I think that, no.
Yeah, but I want to dive into that athlete background because I knew that about you and I'd love for you to paint a little bit more of a picture there, because that's what our podcast was born out of that originally. It's gotten away from that more over the years as I've welcomed on more and more people. But talk to me about, like, what is, in your mind, like, who is Nelson the athlete?
I wanted to be in the Olympics of boxing. You know, it's like, I love sports in general, and I'm just that's who I am, and I refuse to lose. I just always, yeah, you can't give up. You have to win. Cannot give up. Cannot give up. Just, you know, it's mine. It's mine. It's 95% of it is in the mind. Mm-hmm. And I've transformed, you know, that from being an athlete to business, and just cannot give up.
Yeah.
Just you know, just go for it, and you just cannot give up, and you have, and it's a mental thing, right? 95% is mental. So you said it. We can't. It's something that's it's you don't see it anymore. Well, your words is harder than ever, right? Mm-hmm. And it's. We need people with more energy, more enthusiasm, I guess, for success or to win.
I get it. I get it, man. And again, there's a simplicity to everything that you're saying, and I'm such an advocate of simplicity in the sense of, like, on the surface, you hear everything you're saying, and it's just like, man, that's kind of simple. That's kind of simple. Like, you know, don't give up. Find a way to win. And that resonates all with me. It really does, because that's my background. I was an athlete. I used to oversee athletes. I now oversee competitors in such a wide array of different industries within business. But it all comes back to, how much does it mean to you? How badly do you want to win? And then what does the work look like for us to get there? So I would love for you to maybe take us back a little bit to where Kid Moto originated, and how the idea came about, and give us a little bit of that story, please.
Wonderful. I was in procurement, government procurement. I was driving a part-time Uber to make ends, to keep the business sustainable. And I couldn't get two government contracts. And I saw this opportunity and I said, you know what? I had a small team. Let me dive into it. It was super hard. Oh, forget about it. The amount of energy it takes is, forget about it. You know, you're waking up at 3:45. That's me. 3:45 in the office at 4:15, working until 11 o'clock, and night, day in and day out. And I have actually created an image with that. I said in like 2017, probably saw 7 days or 10 days of sunlight.
Wow.
You know, like, I wouldn't go out to office. It's like, forget about it. And it's like, work. Need the energy. You refuse to lose.
It's a fascinating picture when you paint it like that, in terms of 2017, when you say, okay, 10 days of sunlight. And you know, that a lot of us experience something not anywhere near that, but something similar in that of COVID in 2019, 2020. You know, we were forced to be in that kind of environment where it felt as though, even though we could go outside for a bit here and there, we could still see through the windows and all that kind of thing, it felt like we were imprisoned. It felt like we were trapped. It felt like we were unable to really go do and be in a way that we wanted to. And I'm curious, when you look back at that year, 2017, what might be an example of some times where you were in that darkness, not seeing sunlight, and every ounce of you, even with this mindset that you have, like, we don't lose, we find a way to win. How close did you come at times to not being able to actually embody that and feeling that desire to maybe give in?
No, it's not an option. Failure is not an option at all. Right, failure is not an option. So that's number one, right? You have to finish. But it's, you know, not like, unlike COVID, it's not like I was trapped, mm-hmm. right? I was not forced into a situation. I chose you know, entrepreneurship, right? Mm-hmm. And this is something, and Kid Moto is what I chose. So you have to move forward with it. And when you're focused, when you're locked in, focused, And even I'll give an example. It, this New Year's Eve, I was home. I was on the computer until 3:30 in the morning, working, locked in. We have a lot of things going on at Kid Moto and Moto Nation and stuff, but you have to be locked in.
Yeah, I love that, locked in. And it's such an interest. It's such an important point that you make as well, that you chose your circumstances. And as much as I use that example of COVID for reference, because I think some people can at least relate to what it means to be somewhat confined to your surroundings. But as you said, you're choosing to be in that situation as you found yourself in 2017. And here you are as recently as New Year's Eve, still choosing to be in these kind of situations. So talk to me about why it is that up to this point still, we're talking 6 years on from that year 2017.
Yeah.
What keeps the fire alive? Why do you keep continuing to go back and do the work and refuse to quit, etc.?
The train's left the station.
I love that.
The train's left the station, and we have, I have to make decisions. Do I quit now? Do I sit back and take it easy? No. Spencer Johnson wrote a great book. It's about yay thick. It's called Who Moved My Cheese? Actually, I think it might be an Englishman too.
Yeah.
Right? Incredible book. It's about mice that run through the maze and finding cheese. And some mice found cheese and they just sat on it, whereas you had other mice who found cheese and they just kept hustling. Find more cheese. So no, who are you? Like who? And then so when the mice that found the cheese, then the cheese was out, was gone. They're like, who moved my cheese? Right? You get it?
Yeah, I get it.
So you got to hustle, right? Got to keep moving.
Yeah.
And so, who moved my cheese? Spencer Johnson.
I will be looking into that. The hardest part about this podcast is that just about everyone I interview recommends a book to me, and usually I go get that book, and then I look over to my left and I'm like, why do I have 25 books on my desk that I've yet to read? Because I'm saying yes to books at a rate that I can't actually keep up with. But I'm definitely gonna look. I like the fact that you said it's a little one. I can fit a little one in, so that's great.
2 hours, 1 hour, 1 hour and a half. Yeah.
Perfect. But what I would love to talk a little bit about now is just culture, because obviously as you've grown, you're bringing people in, and what was Nelson's thing to begin with is now many people's things now. And so how have you been able to impart some of this mindset that you've spoken in detail about now with all these people to ensure that the culture of the organization matches that of obviously your mindset?
It's a team effort, right? And it's a team effort, and rising tide lifts all boats. Rising tide lifts all boats, and I need everyone in my life to know that, because it's just not about Nelson Nigel, it's about everyone. And that's the reality. It's not one person. There's no I in team, right? T-E-A-M, right? There's no I, and it starts with leadership, right? I'm the one. If I'm working at on New Year's Eve until 3 a.m., I hope you're paying attention as an employee.
Yeah.
Because I chose that. On Saturday nights, I'm in 3 a.m., 4 a.m., still working because I choose that. Mm-hmm. So it starts from the top. Got to show that leadership. Got to sacrifice.
It's action oriented leadership, and it's a style of leadership where, true to the tech industry as a whole, I know that it's really in many ways, I wouldn't say it's the only way to lead, but in many ways, it has to be the way to lead, at least as you are in that growth mode. Like, you have to be that leader that's showing people, hey, listen, if we want to get to some of these goals and some of these milestones that we continue to talk about, what am I doing that I can show you represents what I need you to be doing? And that's a huge part of what you're talking about here. And if you just rewind a little bit and talk us through a little bit of this growth that you've had as an organization, when did you maybe notice within that growth, like, okay, there's enough people now, or there's enough things happening beyond me now, where I need to maybe be a little bit more aware of, like, hey, is everything that I stand for resonating far enough away from me so I know the entire culture represents that too? Like, was there a moment like that, or is there a moment like that?
It happens all the time. It happens all the time. We keep changing very fast. But it doesn't happen by accident, because, you know, I'm always planning ahead. And it starts with, it sounds normal, a business plan, right? But very important, yeah. Right? And business planning is so key. The strategy is key, because you need to start planning 6 months, 8 months, at the, 1 year, 2 years ahead. And as you're planning, you have to have, you have to have all your, notepads out. Like, we're visual creatures. I have like 10 notepads on my desk. I'm always writing stuff down, right? And always, if it's not documented, it never happened. We're visual creatures. We're, 6, 7 senses. I don't know anymore, right? So, but we are visual. If it's not documented, it never happened. In this day and age, many things going on, we have to see it on paper. And so, in terms of the changes, well, I'm always planning ahead for change. And that's important, because you don't want change to hit you smack in the back. Like, all of a sudden, you're not prepared for it, because you want to control risk. So it's kind of like, controlling risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And something you alluded to earlier as well is that, and I saw it as I was looking through your bio, is that you are in growth to the point of where you're expanding. So you've got Kid Moto, and I believe it's Moto Nation. Is that right? So,
Moto Nation, yes.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that. What's going on there?
So we've built out a national infrastructure with Kid Moto, kind of like Uber has, global infrastructure, or mm-hmm. or Lyft. So we would be in that conversation where we have this national infrastructure. Now that we have the infrastructure, whereas very, very few companies can create that, the technology, the automation, the HR. Now we can move Kid Moto from providing just child car seats for airport transportation, and we will move into logistics, transporting airline crews, cruise line crews, non-emergency medical, picking up infants at hospitals, logistics, last mile cargo. But it stems from having an infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now that the infrastructure is built, it's like, forget about it. We can do a lot more.
Yeah. It's a foundation, right? You've built the foundation. Like, I
that's
get
what it.
It
is.
That's what it is, yeah, man. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. You said it. Foundation.
Yeah. Yeah, and so much of what we talk about on this show is that individual foundation, and so often that gets overlooked, especially when you're having to be so outward focused as you are with the business. Like, how do we build this infrastructure? How do we ensure that we have this foundation to where we can consider other ideas? And one of my favorite things about you is, as I read about you, is clearly you're very innovative. And so with that innovative energy, to have the foundation to be further innovative is what makes building the foundation worth it. All that work that you're talking about, man, like behind the scenes, you've built the foundation to now be even more innovative in the work that you're doing, not just as a group, but for you individually as well, right?
Yeah. And part of the foundation is like always learning. You have to consistently teach yourself new things. And I can't speak for many people, but I love learning. Mm-hmm. Learning AI, learning, now it's like literally learning reels, learning how to create reels. And it's right. or learning, like, I have a camera that floats around you. Like, it's phenomenal, right? It just, it records you as it, with the, just a drone camera.
Yeah.
So but just learning how to utilize that sort of technology, and now AI is just like phenomenal, right? But so learning AI is just like it's changing the way we're automating. It's changing the way we're functioning as a company, and it's nonstop learning. And the more you learn, the more you can see, right? That's basically it. The more you learn, the more you can see. And going back to your foundation, right? When you're building a business, the deeper you dig, the higher you go, right? So if you think about, like, we're in New York City, you know, regular four-story building, they might dig a two-story house, right? They might dig 10 feet down, but it could only go up two stories, right? Okay. You want to put up a four-story building, you might dig, you know, 13 feet or 15 feet down, put up a four-story building. But you can't put a 10-story building on that foundation. It's not possible, right? It just won't sustain that the size of that building. Now, if you want to build a 10-story building, you're probably going to have to dig down probably 25 feet in order to create a bigger foundation so you can go up 10 stories. But if you want to do a 30-story building, you might have to dig down 50 feet, right?
Right.
You want to do a 100-story building, you might have to dig down 150 feet. Now, Burj Dubai went down 225 feet.
Wow.
Burj Dubai, Burj Khalifa, they're 2,700 feet into the sky. So that's just, you know, like 225 feet in the ground.
Before you start going up, like
before you start going up, exactly.
I love that. I love that analogy, because and I love that you're able to support it even with that actual data as well, with that building in Dubai. Because you're getting me excited now. And it always happens at some point within the interview. I start getting excited because as you start speaking, it's like, okay, if anyone listening right now, if you're not paying attention, if you've not got a pen, go grab a pen, go pull your notes out on your phone, because you know something that's so insightful that you're imparting with us here, Nelson, is the notion of what is true depth? True depth need to look like for you to grow to where you want to get to? Like, and that is what you're talking about in abundance right now.
Yeah. Look, if you're building this two-story building, your building plans could be like three pages, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're building a Burj Dubai, your building plans will probably be like this.
Sure.
And keep going. Sure. Right? So when you're thinking about architectural plans, blueprints, right? Mm-hmm. The bigger the building, the more the blueprints. Right. So if you're building the bigger the business, you have to really have a lot more information in that business plan. To build that business.
Mm-hmm. It's a constant reassessment, and you said risk management before and things like that, but that ability and that desire, most importantly, we go back to the willingness again. The same version of you that was willing to do the work back in 2017 is the same version of you that is willing to examine the size of the blueprint, the size of the depth that you need to go now in order to grow to where it is you're trying to get to. And that theme of just simply being willing to do what maybe others aren't willing to sign up for is clearly what has separated you as the competitor within your career, within your business so far, and will continue to do so. And I'm just curious right now, because one thing I know can always serve our listeners with a story like yours, Nelson, is there would have been a time where you had the epiphany, where you had the light bulb moment and you said, listen, I have an idea and I need to do something about it. Now, you tell me, if someone's listening to this right now, or you tell that person so they can hear you, what does it mean to do something about it? What did those initial steps look like where you had the idea, the light bulb came on, but then you actually brought it into action? What did that look like for you?
Having the idea, but bring it into action?
Yeah.
You have to make a decision. Do you want to go for it? Go for it. But you have to put all the effort in. It's not half effort. It's not three quarters. It's not 90%. It's everything. You have to put it all in. There's no plan B. Entrepreneurs like me, there's no plan B. We're putting it all in.
Yeah.
Everything's on the line, right? That's how we live, right? Everything is on the line. We're putting it all in, all the effort, everything. You got to believe in yourself. Mm-hmm. You got to believe in yourself. You got to, you just have to have that will to succeed, that will to just keep going forward. Mm-hmm. Because if you have a plan B, well, guess what? You actually don't have a will to succeed because you have a plan B.
Well, you're talking about and correct me if I'm wrong, but what I'm hearing is that you're kind of you're almost using this analogy of plan B as like an excuse or an exit strategy, if you will. Like how do I
that's
get
an
off
exit strategy.
Yeah, how do I get off the train, so to speak, that you said before you've left the station. So it's just like, no, like the train is moving and it's a train that never stops moving. So you can't necessarily get onto another train without, once you get off, this train continues to keep going. And while you're on the train, we can do all this work around how we try things differently, how we look at things differently, how we educate ourselves, how we dig deeper in terms of the blueprint, all this kind of thing. But you're saying is that once you commit and once you're off, and I love the fact that you use the word decision too, like you have the idea, but then you make the decision. It's not as though the idea is strong enough in itself to just suddenly become something without you making that decision to make it into something. Like that decision, that decision is such an important part of this.
Oh, absolutely. The decision and, it's part of that is execution, right? But you have to make that decision. I'm going in 100%. That's it. There's no plan B. There's no out. Just go in, and I'll tell you, it's outstanding, especially when you're competitive, when you, achieving things is good.
Yeah. Who do you have around you on a day-to-day basis? I'm just curious, like, who do you have around you to almost, you're as competitive as you are and you're as motivated and driven as you are. Do you have anyone around you on a day-to-day basis that maybe just kind of keeps you in check or anything like that?
No, it's who I am. It's a natural, thing. I just love doing this. I'm constantly, around, great people, smart people, just great energy. Always keep good energy around you. Mm-hmm. One piece of advice is, I say, get rid of dead weight.
Right.
So, I don't watch. I probably had a TV like maybe 3 months in the last 10 years. I bought a big television and ended up watching, football games.
Right.
Right. It was like, all right, I have to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Right. It's no good. It's distracting. Time is very important. You can't just live your life away watching television all the time. So, right. So get rid of the television, the news, and consequential information. Before you would read a lot of articles, et cetera, inconsequential information. Get rid of it. I just started getting involved with the reels, watching reels on Instagram. Oh, forget about it. No good. No bueno. No bueno.
Brother, you're speaking my language right now. I mean, you are right in the Steve Mello wheelhouse at this point in terms of just. Again, distractions, I love that you use the word distraction. Inconsequential information, I love the use of that. I think it's such a relevant word for us, a term for us to actually consider. As you said, like the Instagrams and all this kind of thing, it's such a, in my world, and I know it's probably the case in your world to an extent as well, it's like you need to have a presence on those platforms, but those platforms can't be your all day, every day. If you get so caught in those things and you just become obsessed with those things, you start to see things that are actually just story and narrative and thoughts, and you start to see that as truth. You start to really see it as actual truth, and it's not. And that's what you're saying here is like, drop the stuff that isn't the truth and focus on what is.
Yeah. And news also, it's all, it, it's inconsequential information, mm-hmm. right? But now, if you, and when you have a business, Steve, you know this, mm-hmm. right? You have to focus. You have to focus on your business. You can't just focus on miscellaneous people who are dead weight, right? Now having, now getting involved in a, inconsequential, conversations that are leading to nowhere. Like, I could be learning AI right now. I could be learning contracts in HR, right? Yeah. There's so many things that I could be doing right now that instead of doing this. Mm-hmm. So I just there's so much information online. It's free. That's just the beauty of everything. I was like, you want to learn something? Come on, it's for free. Mm-hmm. What's stopping you? TikTok.
it's such an important point, man. Because I mean, some people are literally using these platforms to get their education, and then they're almost blind to that. And that's a whole nother podcast. That's a whole nother discussion that we could probably dive into.
Like, that's what's stopping people,
right? For sure. But listen, man, I am so thankful and appreciative to have had you. Introduced to me and introduced to our world and for our listeners to be able to learn from you. But tell me just a little bit about, we're actually talking here right at the beginning of 2024. So what does 2024 look like for Kid Moto and Moto Nation? And just tell us a little bit about like what the next step is, what some of the growth you have on the horizon looks like.
We're raising money so we can build out these new companies. We have the infrastructure, the foundation, and we're building out some exciting companies. I'm learning about healthcare. I'm learning about logistics, learning about, just tons of great, great forms of business. And it's exciting for Moto Nation, right? It's just a parent company. And I'm just so excited because when we onboard new employees, you're just learning so much about the puzzle. All right. So for your listeners out there, have a top down view on how to a business. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. Mm-hmm. So you want to be that person looking down at the board game, and you want to see 20,000 pieces, and you want to be the person who can put all those pieces together, because if you can see that, forget about it. You have yourself a huge business, right? Yeah. If you can look at a business as a 10-piece puzzle, right? It will be easy to put together, right? That could be a small bit, the regular small business. But the bigger the business is, the more the pieces, right? Mm-hmm. So you want to have a top-down view on a business instead of being on the ground looking up, because when you're on the ground looking up, you don't understand how many pieces are in your puzzle.
Right.
And many people, Steve, many people are on the bottom looking up because they don't have that perspective.
Sure.
So you want that top down perspective.
Yep. It's huge. It's crucial. And I love the analogy again. You're a man of analogies, and I appreciate that. I'm always trying to use them in my own world, and I appreciate the jigsaw puzzle and looking at it that way. And again, maybe you're someone who has a business that only has 10 pieces to that puzzle right now, and that's okay. Like, if that's the size of your business, that's fine. But to your words, Nelson, like, just make sure you're looking at it from above and looking at those pieces accordingly, because you're exactly right. You're looking at those puzzle pieces from underneath, you haven't got a clue where they're going to go. You ain't got a clue.
Exactly. And that's how you outcompete. That's how you outcompete your competitors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I love it. And so, Nelson, tell us where we can learn more about you, because as I alluded to in the intro, I've been in that situation as a parent, and like, brother, had I known about you guys, you can bet your butt that I would have been using your platform. So tell us a little bit where we can learn more.
So Kid Moto, it's kidmoto.taxi. You can Google Kid Moto, KIDMOTO, motonation.us. That's really exciting. Being able to now take that infrastructure and create new products for underserved communities, specialized communities with special needs. Airline crews have special needs, or cruise line staff. If you have to bus 400 staff members or picking up newborns in hospitals, no one is doing that, mm-hmm. right? Parents needing child car seats. We're doing it in 51 cities, 52 cities, right? Yeah. And so Motor Nation is a company that's providing mobile technology for the underserved segments of the population. And that's so cool because Uber's not doing it. Lyft is not doing it. Forget about it.
No, man. And I love that. And this is, at some point, I'll have you, in a year or so, as you continue to grow, you'll have to come back on the podcast because I still want to get back into all of that good stuff of you going up against these giants of industry and things like that and saying, I see you, but hey, we're going to take you on, but we're going to put a pin in that part of the conversation and we're making a return to that a little bit down the road.
And the riches are in the niches, I saw the niche and I was able to create a national infrastructure based on a small, tiny niche. Mm-hmm. Whereas you have companies 50 times larger than us in business for 50, 100 years, they couldn't even do it.
Right? Like I said, man, you're coming back on and we're going to dive into that in more detail in the future. You have an extended invite to come back on. But Nelson, listen, man, this has been a blast.
Thank you.
I'm so glad to have had you on. Everybody, if you weren't watching this on video and you were listening to it, you've missed out on the flashy blue suit and the awesome mohawk. two things I am not capable of pulling off myself. So I'm so thankful that Nelson's here to do that for the both of us. Listen, brother, you're welcome back anytime. I appreciate the time and thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
So much energy, so much impact, courtesy there of Nelson, Nigel. Thank you so much for hanging around and giving this episode a listen. One insight I would definitely encourage all of you to do is to just examine that foundation. How deep is that foundation right now? Is there a foundation right now? Gosh, that's a scary message when you think about it. But at the same time, I'd rather be asking that question right now than be waiting for the entire structure potentially to fall in the future. So why not look at that foundation today and simply consider how you can maybe add greater depth to that foundation. In the meantime, I appreciate you taking the time to listen to this awesome insight. If you thought it was awesome as I did, and I know Nelson did, be sure to take the time to give us a rating, to subscribe to the show in order to make sure you're not missing out on future episodes. And of course, take the time to share it. Who could benefit from this very episode that you just listened to? There's got to be one person, right? Share the wealth of knowledge that you just took from what you listened to and pass it along today. Thank you so much for coming back and listening to Career Competitor. Best of luck with anything and everything you've got going on within your world. And I look forward to doing this all again with you very soon. Bye for now.